بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. عن رياض بن حمار رضي الله تعالى أنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى أوحى إلي أن تواضعوا حتى لا يفخر أحد على أحد، ولا يبغي أحد على أحد. الصحابي ليست حديث ماذا نيم فزد عياض بن حمار عن عياض بن حمار الصحابي عياض بن حمار رضي الله عنه says that once Nabi Karim saw and said that Allah Ta'ala has sent a message to me by means of divine revelation, and that is a message which is pertinent and applicable to every single person on the face of this earth, and that message is tawadhu, that imbue yourself with the quality of This quality of humility and humbleness, then حَتَّى لَا يَفْخَرَ أَحَدٌ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. The benefit is that a person will not brag and boast, which is humility, humbleness, is something that is sought after and something that is desired in our Sharia, in fact in every Sharia that has come into the world. This quality of tawadu, humbleness, humility, is such that the ulama have termed it as Ummul Hasanat, the mother of all virtue. Because when a person has this quality of humility, he lowers himself, then it is obvious that you will be kind and compassionate to everyone else. He will treat everyone justly, unjustly. He will fulfill their rights, He will feel that they are better than me, so I have to go out of my way in order to fulfill their rights that are due upon me. So in this way, he will show kindness and compassion for everyone. And completely opposite of tawadu, humility, is kibra. That is pride, arrogance, vanity. That is why kibra, pride is known as ummul amrad, the mother of all spiritual maladies. That when a person has kibra, pride within him, then he feels that I am better than everyone is lower than me. He looks down upon other people. And once a person begins to look down upon other people, he feels that no one can tell me what to do. What I say goes, even if it means to get my way, I have to oppress people, I have to be cruel to them, I have to show animosity towards them, I have to express jealousy. All these other evil things come about because of this quality of kibra, of pride, arrogance, vanity. So destructive is this malady of pride that in the hadith we are told that لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من حبة من كبر. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That such a person will not enter Jannah who has even an iota's bit of pride in his heart. A person may have iman, and by virtue of that, iman, one day, for the grace of Allah, he will go into to Jannah. But if he lived with pride in this world, and he died with that pride, then in order to cleanse that person of the pride, he will have to go spend some time in the fire of Jahannam. When he's punished and that pride is removed from his heart, then with the grace of Allah, he will be granted entry into Jannah. Because Jannah is a place where there is no scope for pride, for haughtiness, for arrogance, for vanity. So therefore, this is a trait, characteristic that is sought after: tawadu, humbleness and humility. What is the reality and essence of this humbleness, humility? Tawadu, humility, means that a person regards himself lower than everyone else and everyone better than himself. That is tawadu, that is humbleness. And this quality can only come about when a person has love and compassion, mercy for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as a person ought to have love for Allah ta'ala, he ought to have love for the creation of Allah and have compassion and mercy for the creation of Allah ta'ala. Which is why in the Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah ta'ala mentions, Ar-Rahimun, Yarhamum Ar-Rahman Tabaraka wa ta'ala, Yarhamu man fil ard, Yarhamukum man fil sama. That those who show mercy and compassion for one another, Allah shows mercy upon them. So Allah ta'ala says, show mercy and compassion for my creation on the face of this earth, and the being that rules over the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will show mercy and compassion upon you. So this tawadu can come about when a person has love and compassion for his fellow creation. Then he will consider himself lower than everyone else, and everyone else better than him. And tawadu, humility, is not something that should only come from the lips. It should not be lip service. It should come from deep down within the heart. Then we can say there is tawadu and humility. When a person says, I am the lowest of the low, I am a non-entity, I am nothing, this should come out from the heart. Everyone is better than me, should come out from the heart. It should not merely be lip service, that outwardly he shows himself to be lower than everyone else, but in his heart he still feels, I am someone. Everyone must look up towards me. That is not tawadu. That is not humility. In fact, that is a sign of pride. That sometimes a person, like a window display, outwardly, in front of people, he says, I am the lowest of the low, I am nothing. And then he waits for a little while, that people must reject those statements. People must refute them and tell him, no brother, you are not a non-entity. You are everything. You are the best of everyone. You are the greatest. He is waiting for those praises to be lauded unto him. So this is the type of pride, that outwardly he is showing himself to be very humble, but the reason for the show and display is that so people can negate his outward humility and instead rather praise him. A sign that a person definitely has humbleness and humility is that if you were to say to people that I am the lowest of the low, I am nothing, I am like a non-entity, and then people in turn, if they respond in a similar fashion, they tell you, yes, we also know you are a non-entity, you are nothing, you are of no substance. So when he is replied in this manner, if it does not have any effect on him, he does not feel upset about that, he does not feel annoyed about that, and you feel that this person is merely confirming what I have in my heart about humility, and he feels happy about that, then that is a sign that he has tawazu. But most people, if they were to say that I am the lowest of the low, instead of people praising him that, no brother, you are the best, you are the greatest, if they were to say, yes, you are the lowest of the low, most people you would find their faces would turn blue and red and purple. They would become annoyed, upset. How can this person call me the lowest of the low? Yet you yourself have confirmed and said verbally you are the lowest of the low. Because you have become annoyed and angry, upset, it shows this humility is not from the heart. It is merely a facade. It is an outer display. So this should be genuine. So the sign that if a person is told and these words are mentioned to him in a negative sense, if it does not take any effect, then that is a sign that he has true humility, true tawazu. On one occasion, the famous physician, Bu Ali Sina, whom the Western world in Latin, they pronounced it as Avicenna. He was a famous physician of the 11th century, and he wrote many books. In fact, his famous book, The Canon of Medicine, for many years, Islamic scholar writing on medicine, for many years, this book was used in medical schools, medical universities. So on one occasion, in a certain place, a prince, the son of a king, became gravely ill. So the king sent for Bu Ali Sina to treat his son. Being the famous physician doctor of the time, he came and he diagnosed whatever the problem was. He administered some medication, but there was no difference. The son was not recovering. In fact, his condition was becoming worse. So then a pious person of the area came into the court of the king, and he came to the bedside of the prince. The king allowed him. He read a few ayat of the Quran. He read some du'as and began to blow on the patient, upon the prince. When he began to blow on the prince, Bu Ali Sina was noticing all this. And he took off at him and rebuked him. He said, "What is all this foo-foo-foo you're making, blowing on the patient? This foo-foo you're making, merely blowing out hot air from your stomach, whatever the case may be, how can it have any effect on an ill patient? This patient needs medication. He needs medical help. What you are uttering, a few words you read and made foo-foo, this is merely something intangible. It emerges from your mouth and disappears. How can it have any effect?" So this muttaqi, pious person, decided to teach the physician a lesson. He kept silent for a little while, and then he said in an abrupt way to Bu Ali Sina, that, "What did you just say, you dog, you scum of the earth?" When he said these words, then the colors on the face of Bu Ali Sina began changing. It became blue, purple, yellow, all colors, obviously showing that he was upset. That the greatest physician of the time and age, Bu Ali Sina, someone calling me a dog, someone calling me a scum. And the reason he said this is that prior to that, Bu Ali Sina had said this, that what effect can words have? You've just recited some verse of the Quran, some words, and blown on him, foo, foo, foo. What effect can mere words have? So he proved that words can have effect. When I said to you, "A dog, you are a non-entity," why did it take effect on you? So he showed that the words of Allah do have an effect. So nevertheless, tawadu should be from the bottom of the heart. When a person does not have tawadu, humility, in other words, sincerely, he does not consider himself to be the lowest, then such a person begins to develop pride. And pride leads a person to destruction. Look at Iblis, Shaitan, such a devoted worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala created the first human, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Iblis was in fact from among the species of jinn. But due to his devotion, his ibadat, he was elevated and included among the ranks of the malaika, farishtas. He used to sit in their company. So when Allah ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and put soul life into him, Allah ta'ala commanded all the malaika in which Iblis was included, they bow down to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. This bowing, of course, was not a prostration bowing of worship. We cannot bow down with the intention of worship to anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, in the previous religions, this was a way of greeting. It was a sadda tahiyya, a sadda of greeting. And some scholars, ulama, say it was a type of bowing to express honor from someone of great status, someone of a noble rank. So when Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously he had a noble rank. He was the first among the ashraful makhlukat, the most honorable of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So out of respect, in order to honor him, Allah Ta'ala commanded the malaika to bow down. And this at that time and age could not even be misconstrued as a prostration of worship. Because this was the first human being created, the progeny of Adam a.s. was to come in later generations that would worship, bow down to idols, and resort to idol worshipping. So there was no such thing as idol worshipping at the time of the creation of Adam a.s. So this bowing could not even be misconstrued as a bowing of worship. It was a worship merely to acknowledge the status, or rather it was a bowing merely to acknowledge the status of Adam a.s. And when Allah Ta'ala issued the command, they were required to immediately comply. So all the malaika complied. They bowed down to Adam a.s., not as I mentioned, as a gesture of worship, but to acknowledge his status, his honor, to honor him. The only person in the gathering that refused to bow down was Iblis, Shaitan. So because of that, Allah Ta'ala banished him and outcast him from Jannat forever and ever. All his thousands of years of ibadat washed down the drain because of this pride. One single moment of pride that caused his downfall and caused him to be banished from Jannat, which shows how serious this crime is. That Allah Ta'ala considered this very, very serious. Allah was very, very angry at him and banished him from Jannat. Hazrat Mawlana Shafi'i Sahib Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to say in his bayans that Iblis, Shaitan, the devil incarnate, was such a person or such a being, such a creation that had four ayins within him. In English too, we can write it with an A. Or rather, he had three ayins, three A's within him. But the fourth ayin, the fourth A was lacking. So he possessed three ayins. What were the three ayins? One was Abid. He was a devoted worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a worshipper that there wasn't a space of 1 inch left in the heavens where he did not make sajda to Allah ta'ala. Every space was used up. Such a devoted Abid. He is the first ayn. And he also was Alim, a very erudite scholar, accomplished scholar. So much knowledge he had that Allah Ta'ala appointed him as a teacher of the Malaika. He was known as Mu'azzimul Malakut, teaching the Farishtas. So he was the first Ayn, Abid, worshipper, second Ayn, Alim, in fact teacher of the Malaika, and thirdly he was Arif, recognizing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He had true recognition of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the Tani Rahmatullah says that the only thing lacking was that he was not Ashik. He did not have true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, a person can only have that humility, humbleness, if he has love and compassion for the creation of Allah ta'ala. So to show humility, tawazu in front of Allah, he also has to have ishq and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was lacking in this ingredient of ishq and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise he was even arif. And proof of him being arif, having recognition of Allah Ta'ala, is that when Allah Ta'ala made him an outcast and banished him from Jannat, he asked Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He was obviously very, very angry at Adam alayhi salatu salam and his progeny, that Adam alayhi salam had become the means for him to be banished from Jannat, even though it was his own fault. He blamed Adam alayhi salam for this. So he said, I will not rest till I lead astray the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu salam. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Said, I will come and lead them astray. I will come to them from the front, from the back, from the right, from the left, from all directions. I will try and lead them astray. And most of mankind you will find will be ungrateful to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to lead all the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam astray, he needed to get a long life, up to the day of Qiyamah. So even though his pride was exposed, in spite of that he did not learn a lesson, he still had a tinge of pride in him, and because he recognized Allah Ta'ala, he had ma'rifat, he was arif. He knows Allah Ta'ala is that being, that in spite of being upset and angry with me at this moment, Allah is not like other creation that bears grudges, that keeps the grudge within him. So if I make this request, I have hope that my request will be granted. So what request did he make? Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yubathun. That Allah can grant me grace and respite, a long life, until people are resurrected from their graves. So even there, here there was a tinge of pride. Because we know that Hazrat Israfil a.s. will blow the trumpet twice. The first time when he blows the trumpet, every living being on the face of this earth will die, will perish. Then after some period of time, he will blow the trumpet a second time, and people will come back to life. They will rise from the graves to come back to life. So he believes when he made this request, that keep me alive until people are resurrected. That is, until the trumpet is blown for a second time. So here too he wanted to show his pride and haughtiness, that everyone else besides Allah will perish if I remain living. At the first blow of the trumpet, I do not die. And when the second time the trumpet is blown, as everyone will come to life, I will still have that life. I will have the opportunity to brag over the rest of the creation that all of you perished, all of you died, I remained alive. So look at the pride he had there too. That he wanted to remain alive till the second blowing of the trumpet. Allah Ta'ala did not grant this request. Allah Ta'ala merely granted him this, that I have granted you life ila yawmil waqtil ma'lum, until the coming of the day of Qiyamah. In other words, until the first blowing of the trumpet takes place. Till then you will have life. When the trumpet is blown, you will also perish, you will also die. When everyone comes to life, then obviously his future has been forewritten already. He believes he will be doomed for eternity in the fire of Jahannam. So look at this, because he was arif, recognition of Allah Ta'ala, he knew Allah Ta'ala will not bear a grudge, Allah will still accede to my request, and Allah Ta'ala granted the request that he should live up to the day of Qiyamah. So this is pride, which is totally opposite of tawadu. Hazrat Thanvi says, he was abid, he was alim, he was arif, but he was not ashik. He possessed the three A's, alim, abid, arif. The fourth A was missing, ashik, the fourth ayn. He did not have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had he had love, he would have immediately acceded, complied with Allah Ta'ala's command to bow to Adam alayhi salatu salam. Yet, he did not bow, still showing his pride by saying that خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِيُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينَ. Allah, you created me from fire, you created him from clay. Clay is something on the ground that is trampled upon. Fire rises towards the skies. It is something that is high and mighty. So he showed his haughtiness at that point of time. So therefore, this pride is Ummul Amraf, the mother of all spiritual maladies, whereas tawadu, humility, is Ummul Hasanat, the root and the mother of all good deeds, of all virtue. If you study the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in spite of being the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the greatest of all the Anbiya, of all the Nabis, more greater than all the Malaika as well, in spite of that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such tawazu, humility, humbleness. It comes in the hadith, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking along the road, and a little child, whether it is a girl or boy, comes and catches the hand of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, come with me. You know, little children now, to the innocent, they will catch your hand, come out to show you something. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in spite of his status, he did not feel that below his dignity. He would go along with the child. They tell me, what have you to show to me? And the child, whatever the child wished to show, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go and wash that, make the child happy. Such was the tawadu, humility of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person would come to greet Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and extend his hand to shake the hands of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's humility was such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not pull his hand away until that person himself pull his hand away. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would release his hand as well. He would allow that person to continue holding the Mubarak and beloved blessed hands of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. if someone would come to speak to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until that person would not end his conversation, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa would listen attentively. He would not show impatience that when is this person going to end, when is going to stop talking. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa used to listen to his talk attentively and reply to him according to his needs, according to his wishes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa tawazu, humility was such that he would never ever like the Sahaba to walk behind him. Because when one person walks in front, everyone walks behind him, then even the public notices that this is a noble figure, a person of high nobility, of rank, someone very great, someone renowned, someone famous. So Nabi Sallam would like the Sahaba to walk in the same line with him, not behind him. He would not like to be shown that sort of status and a preference. And also Nabi Sallam would not like that if there is a crowd ahead of him, for one Sahabi to go in front, that clear the road, there is a great person coming. Like other people also, Nabi Sallam used to walk through the crowd. In other words, Nabi Sallam would not prefer the proverbial red carpet treatment. He would prefer to be treated as everyone else, in spite of being the greatest creation of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Nabi Sallam came to the gathering of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu majma'in, and he said to him, that listen, when you praise me, obviously out of appreciation, I'm your Nabi, sometimes you praise me, but do not over praise me. Do not exaggerate in your praising me to the extent that you reach the level of the Christians. That the Christians, because they exaggerated in praises of Isa alayhi salatu salam, they reached a state where they elevated him to a God and to a Son of God. So do not elevate me to that caliber. I am an ordinary person, I am only the servant of Allah and the messenger of Allah. So do not exaggerate in praising me. On one occasion, Nabi Karim Sam walked in a group of Sahaba that was sitting there. When Nabi Sam walked in, the Sahaba stood up in respect, which is natural. In Sharia, this is permissible also. When you see your teacher walking, your parents walking, you stand up in respect. But Nabi Sam tawadu, humbleness was such that he bid the Sahaba to sit down. And he warned them, in future when I walk in, do not stand up for me. This was the humility of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said to him, the reason why I forbid you to stand up for me is because I am also after all a human being. I eat like other humans eat. I sit like other humans sit. I sleep like other humans sleep. So do not stand up for me. But as I mentioned, out of respect for our teachers, for an elderly person, for our parents, for a pious person, it is permissible to stand up. Of course, if the person out of tawazu, he refuses and tells us to sit down, not to stand up, then you should obey him as well. Where it becomes impermissible is if that person desires, he yearns for people to stand up for me. That whenever I make a so-called grand entrance, people must stand up for me, then that is impermissible. That is a sign of pride. That he wants people to stand up for him, and if people do not stand up, then he becomes dejected. That is pride. On another occasion, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to a certain shop in the bazaar to buy a pair of trousers. And this was towards the later years of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just prior to his demise. Otherwise, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his entire life, he preferred to wear what is known as a lungi, a tehman, which is tied around the waist. This was a normal apparel of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the lower part of his body, to conceal his satr. But prior to his demise, Nabi Sallam went into the bazaar and he purchased a pair of trousers. But he did not get the opportunity to don that pair of trousers. He did not wear it because very soon thereafter he passed away. But the fact that he purchased it, obviously was in order to wear it. So it shows the permissibility of wearing trousers too, provided we wear them above the ankles. They do not cover the ankles. So nevertheless, in that transaction, Nabi Sallam was very honest, transparent in the transaction. Even the shopkeeper was impressed. He said, I never saw Nabi Karim Sallam. Said to the shopkeeper, did he not recognize your Nabi? When he realized it was Nabi Sallam, he ran out from the shop and bent forward to kiss the palm, the hand of Nabi Sallam. Nabi Sallam pulled his hand away. And he said, this is the way of other nations, that they honor the kings by kissing their palms kissing the hands, or standing up for them and then remaining standing. So this is not our way. Nabi Sallam did not allow his hand to be kissed. Yet too, as far as the masala is concerned, if you kiss the hand of a pious person, it is permissible, out of respect, out of honor. But if the person himself refused and says, do not do so, then we should abstain. Yet too, if a person desires, he yearns that people must kiss his palms, hands, then that is not tawadu, that is not humility, that is a sign of pride. So this was a tawadu in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion on a journey, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveling with the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, they decided to stop at a certain place to rest and to partake of the food. Whatever food they brought, of course, had been used up, so they had some livestock, some goats for them. Mashara's made that you will slaughter a goat and cook the meat and partake of the meat. So the duties were distributed. Some Sahaba were given the duty of slaughtering the animal. For that a few people were needed, someone to hold the animal, the other one to use a knife, slaughter it. And then others were assigned the duty of skinning the animal. A further group was assigned the duty of cooking the food, of cooking the meat. So in this way, various duties were assigned. So Nabi Sallam stood up and he said, I will take the responsibility of going to the jungle and gathering firewood to light the fire on which the meat will be cooked. So look at this. The Sahaba were obviously annoyed. They said, O Nabi of Allah, you don't have to do anything. You sit down. So Nabi Sallam said that, no, Allah has given me the strength. Why should I expect to have everything done for me? Let me also take part in this work. So Nabi Sallam went and gathered firewood. That same story, when Nabi Sallam purchased a pair of trousers, when the parcel was given to him, the Sahabi accompanying him decided to carry the parcel for him. Nabi Sallam refused. Nabi Sallam said, if I had some disability, it was a different case, you would carry it for me, I have the strength. So Nabi Sallam carried himself. This was a sunnah of our akabir as well, our pious predecessors. One of my own ustaz, Mawlana Alhamdulillah Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, Allah for his qabr of Noor in Babel, the year that he taught us, the final year, he was teaching us Sunan Abu Dawud. During the course of the year, he passed away. He was such a wali of Allah. When he taught us, he was well into his 80s already. Yet he would go to the marketplace to purchase vegetables, whatever the case may be, groceries. If a student would see him carrying that bag, or sometimes it was heavy, he would carry it on his shoulder. If a student came forward to render assistance, he would refuse. Then I do not take khidmat from any student. Allah has given me the strength. I will carry it myself. This was the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And perhaps that was the reason, because of his love for the sunnah, that it was well known about Mawlana Alhamdulillah Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, that once every week he used to make ziyarat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sleep, in his dream. Every week, four times a month in other words. Such was his status. This was due to following the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, in spite of his caliber, he used to say ke main har musalman ko fil hal aur har kafir ko fil maal apne se behtar samajhta hu. Sometimes you would put it this way ke main apne aap ko har musalman se fil hal aur har kafir se fil maal kamtar samajhta hu. Then I consider myself lower than every Muslim in the present tense and lower than every kafir in the future tense. Future tense meaning that at the moment, Allah has blessed me with iman. If there are kuffar around me, they do not have the gift of iman. In that sense, I am in a better position. Allah has blessed me. But this is with regard to the present tense. We do not know what the future holds for us. Perhaps in the future, Allah Ta'ala gives that kafir hidayat, and he may become a better Muslim than what I am. So in that case, as far as the future is concerned, I will consider myself even lower than that kafir, because that kafir's future could result in him accepting Islam and becoming a better Muslim than me. And because of the Thanwi Rahmatullah had this quality of tawazu, humility, on one occasion, Mawlana Khair Muhammad Sahib Jalandari Rahmatullah Ali and Mawlana Muhammad Hassan Sahib Amritsari Rahmatullah Ali, both of them were khulafa of the Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, and there were people of great caliber in their own right. Once they were sitting in a majlis of Hazrat Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, listening to his discourses. And an amazing feeling came over their hearts, that they felt in their hearts that we have become the lowest of the low. We are nothing. So after the majlis, both of them, because said to them that this is a good quality to have, and then Hazrat Thanvi divulged something which they were shocked about. Hazrat Thanvi said that in every majlis, when I sit to deliver my discourses, when I sit down there, I consider every participant of the majlis better than me and myself lower than everyone else. This was the tawazu of this great akabir. On one occasion, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi, he was busy teaching hadith to his students outside where there was no shelter, and suddenly it began to pour down. The rain came down. So the students, in order to protect the kitab, their books, they took their books and ran for shelter, but they left all their footwear behind. Their shoes were left behind. Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi went himself personally. He's the ustaz. These are the students. He picked up all the shoes and took it below shelter so that the shoes do not become wet. The students were totally blown away. Our ustaz making our khidmat. So Hazrat said to them that you are mehmanane Rasul. You are the guest of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why should I not make your khidmat? The tawazu of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi was such. On one occasion, he was teaching a hadith in which Nabi Karim also mentions to the Sahaba that لا ينبغي لأحد أن يقول أنا خير من يونس بن متى عليه السلام. That is not appropriate for anyone to say that I, that is Nabi SAW, is better than Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. Where this is our aqidah, that Nabi SAW was far superior than all the Anbiya. But this was the humility of Nabi Karim SAW. On one occasion, someone came to Nabi SAW and addressed him, Ya Khair al-Bariyah, O the best of the creation of Allah. Nabi SAW said, Zaka Ibrahim. That was Ibrahim a.s. You can give that title to him, that accolade to him, and not to me. This was the tawadu, simplicity, humility of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah was teaching the sabak and this hadith came, the students could not comprehend that we know for a fact that Nabi SAW was better than Yunus a.s., more superior to him. Then why did Nabi SAW say, do not grant me superiority over Yunus a.s.? So the ustaz of Gangohi tried to explain to them that we know that Nabi SAW is superior, but this was the humility of Nabi SAW that he considered himself lower. Students still couldn't understand. So then as the Gangohi, addressing the students, said to them, they tell me, do you not consider me to be your ustaz, teacher? They said, yes, surely. Are you not my students? They said, yes, surely. Then Hazrat said to them, that if you consider me to be your ustaz, do you consider me to be better than you? They said, yes, we consider you to be better than us. Then Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah took a deep breath, and he took qasam. He said, by Allah, I swear that in my heart, I consider every single one of you as better than me. When he said that, the students could not control themselves. They began to weep uncontrollably, as if he had slaughtered them to pieces in a spiritual sense. That day the lesson ended. The next day when the Gangohi came to the lesson, when he opened the kitab, now he asked them, did you understand the hadith of yesterday? They said, yes, Hazrat, now we have fully understood. Meaning that Nabi SAW, we know, was superior than every creation of Allah, but out of humility, humbleness, he always portrayed himself to be lower than others. So this is a tawazu that Nabi SAW says in the hadith, that Allah Ta'ala by divine revelation has asked me to convey this message, that inculcate within yourself the quality, the trait of humility and humbleness, so that you do not brag and consider yourself better than others, and so that you do not oppress one another. This is the benefit of tawadu. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ability to sincerely inculcate within us this amazing quality of tawazu, of humility and humbleness. And Allah Ta'ala inshallah make that the means for us to attain other virtue. As I mentioned, this is the root and the mother of all other virtue. If we have tawazu, this will be the stepping stone towards other good deeds and a stepping stone towards attaining proximity and closeness to Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us all tawfiq inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.